This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. It's our final hour on this chilly Monday afternoon. Chad Hartman with you. Don't forget Congresswoman Angie Craig is with us at 2:35. My longtime friend, Patrick Hunt, is kind enough to join us. Patrick is the CEO of Hunt Atkins. Very successful here in town. Patrick's my friend for 20-some years. We've been doing this post-Super Bowl, going back to the fan, and here at CCO. Adam Carter told me earlier in the day, he said, I know more about any topic than Hunt. So that includes... He is also here.
Well,
do you guys
I do
have
know.
Your... Want to have your fish love first, and then we can talk Super Bowl?
Well, it's the Grateful Dead, first of all, Patrick. But I do know a handsome man, and my God, look at that. Look at that beard and the hair. Holy buckets.
Not bad for an old man. Older than dirt. Speaking of the dead, I ran into a lifty who was a deadhead. And it was just a nice camaraderie thing going on this last weekend skiing in Park City.
Honestly.
You appreciated it.
Yeah, honestly, you two never stop, you know. I know he's kind of got the good-looking Santa Claus look going, don't you think? You know, it's a very, very nice look.
Tremendous.
Okay. So
I
let's
bring gifts.
If I showed you these commercials and you had no idea, COVID had killed 450,000 people, devastated our economy, and these were just typical Super Bowl commercials that you were watching yesterday, would they have stood out to you right away, or did some of them look like typical Super Bowl commercials?
Boy, that's a difficult question to answer. There were so many that were based on the happenings of 2020, and in completely different ways. You know, Anheuser-Busch chose to do it in a very emotional way, like they do, but then their own brand, Bud Light, their seltzer did it in a very humorous way. You know, the Bruce Springsteen spot has been talked about a lot. That, I mean, so many referring to that. Now, if you cut out all of those themed ones, I think it was fairly typical. I think a lot of people think it was a lot of retreads. I think there are a few highlights. I think there's some old, I should say, regular advertisers that upped their game a little bit. But I don't think I've ever seen more chatter online with differences of opinion on, you know, top tens are just wildly divergent. I don't think I've really seen that before.
Why do you think that was?
I think it's social media. I think the impact of social media, I'll give you an example of the impact of social media. As you know, in all these years, I tend to reference USA Today's Ad Meter. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most recognized. It's like a go-to for a lot of people in the business. And I don't think I'm the go-to it anymore. Rocket Mortgage ranked number one and two. But in part, potentially, because Tracy Morgan and a bunch of his cohorts went onto Twitter with his 2.7 million followers and encouraged everybody to vote for it. So it's one and two. So who knows? But I have been looking at a lot of online chatter. And, you know, the people who tend to comment tend to have strong opinions. So that's biased in a way as well.
Adam, okay, you as a viewer, as you're watching yesterday, the one, and let's take out the ones that are directly referencing COVID-19. Did they look that different to you?
Not at all. In fact, that was my question, was I'm surprised. I know, obviously, because, you know, nearly half a million people died. COVID isn't something you make fun of, but I'm thinking the social distancing aspect, the mask wearing, I'm surprised that didn't play into more ads.
None of it. I mean, that's one of the commentaries is there's no examples being set for masking. The one thing, though, on the other hand, and I just have to say from the business side of it, to produce spots over the last year with COVID is incredibly difficult. We've seen some big brands, in fact, in the Super Bowl, it happened where they use the same stock footage because it's so difficult to shoot. To have this much, you know, good work done and produced in the way it was one remarkable stories, frankly.
So do you think some of the creativity wasn't there that we normally would see just because of some of the logistical challenges you alluded to?
No, I actually think they did a nice job. I think back on, this segment that we've done over the years, and I actually think this year was better than a lot of the ones in the past. And, you know, maybe I'm rationalizing a little bit because of the last year, but, take an M&M spot, which I've never, ever thought much of their spots. I think this year was really good. It was very well done. There was the one for Toyota with the double amputee swimmer. Now, those types of spots have happened a lot, but the production values and their approach was really unique.
Okay, let's delve in. And for folks watching us, and I hope you are on WCC Radio with at WCC Radio with Twitter and Facebook, we're showing some of the ads. There's Dan Levy and the M&M spot. I thought that was great. Okay, so let's jump into the Bruce one. What did you think of the approach, picking Springsteen? It's 2 minutes, how there was going to be a political divide on it, and how it played out.
Okay, well, first of all, what's interesting about that is it really took, I think it was years, to try to get Bruce Springsteen to participate. He's never been in a commercial before. This is the first one. He was never for doing that. But over time, I think it broke down some barriers. But what's interesting about this one, as I understand it, his production company handled the spot. So they shot it, and they may have actually written it. Now, it may have started with a copywriter, a good friend of mine, Bruce Bilston, who's a really great reputation for copywriting, suggested that maybe it started with a copywriter, but where it went was wonderful. Now, this is a core theme of his, and to meld with the sponsor, now when I look at it from my personal point of view or even a political point of view, I kind of feel like if people think, if they're offended because it's political, then maybe those people are part of the problem. Because how can you criticize a concept of let's all come together? You know, if people are offended by some references that they're assuming are made about the past, but there's really no left or right on here. It's like, let's come together.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting in the Super Bowl how frequently advertisers feel like it's important for the country to come together, but it's got to start somewhere.
Adam, we talk about this all the time on the show, where people have their silo. They're so locked in their silo, they're unwilling to truly listen. Bruce obviously has spoken out as a Democrat for a long time. He's campaigned for Democrats. This wasn't Hillary Clinton won the election in 2016. This was, let's all come together. Here's an example. But sadly, too many people won't leave their preconceived ideas when they're watching.
Yeah, and I think it's because of who it is. Because even though there was no overt, you know, finger pointing in that ad, it's Bruce Springsteen. And most people know which side Bruce Springsteen is coming from. I'm trying to think, okay, let's say that ad, and I'm certainly not comparing stardom levels, but let's say that was Toby Keith. You know, how would we view it?
Yeah. I thought he was going to say
That's
Charles.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I thought he was going to go Charo myself. He's got an obsession with Charo. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's coming up. There's a commercial break.
Would it have been better, Patrick? And obviously, Springsteen's got control and he's only going to do what he's going to do. If you were to pick somebody, like, how about even Garth, right? Garth shows up at the inaugural. He says, I'm a Republican, but you know what? I'm here. Would it have played better if he brings someone who's perceived as somebody who's to the right And I mean, Garth Brooks is Garth bleeping Brooks.
He is. I think there's just some subtext of, you know, Bruce Springsteen never in his entire career being willing to do advertising. He doesn't even like his songs being used to promote anything. And so that's part of the story, the bigness of Bruce Springsteen, and granted Garth Brooks is as well. Everybody's talking about it. And so what's interesting is if you slice it down the middle on the celebrity, it could potentially downgrade the impact as well. So yeah, it's a very kind of, delicate edge there.
Adam, are you going to jump in?
No, I agree with that. I think that in my mind, when I'm hearing Patrick talk about Bruce Springsteen being reluctant to sell anything, I'm thinking of one guy, Brendan Kieran, who thinks that he does try to capitalize on every sort of possible tragedy that hits.
Yeah, this is our guy, Brendan Kieran, who Patrick knows well also, former producer of the show, who has called Bruce a sellout, I think his entire life, suggesting that anytime a tragedy happens, Bruce is grabbing the pen, he's grabbing the paper. And we have to point out to Brendan, you know, a lot of singers write about major events in life. Bruce is not the only one. But I wish I was. In fact, Adam, could you give us a little bit of Kieran? When he saw that commercial?
I told you. I've been saying this for years. Of course, here's Bruce selling Jeeps. Perfect time.
That's so cynical for a guy who's always smiling. It's just like...
He's got a little bit of it. All right, let's do this. We'll pause. Our friend Patrick Hunt is with us, CEO of Hunt Atkins. We're talking commercials. You can chime in yourself. Send us a text. 651-989-9226. Welcome back, everybody. You got a chance, if you wanted to listen to us babble about various topics off air. If you're following us on Twitter, on Facebook, at WCCO Radio, Congresswoman Angie Craig is on the show. In about 12 minutes or so, we continue with our friend Patrick Hunt. He is the founder and the CEO of Hunt Atkins. Okay, for pure humor. Among the commercials I loved, I really liked Ashton Kutcher, The Misses, and Shaggy. What'd you think of that one?
I wasn't, this is just personal. It's not a professional thing. I just thought that the joke was just kicked again and again and again and again. I wasn't as keen on it as I think a lot of people, but I think, the pop culture part of it, I can see why it's pretty popular. I've seen some worst tens, and I've seen some best tens with that in it.
Yeah. Adam, I saw your nod. You with Patrick?
Yeah, the joke got a little old, but the Shaggy at the end kind of saved it a little bit. But yeah, minor laugh.
Flat Matthew McConaughey, what'd you think?
That's another one where it was really, visually arresting. I saw the joke coming from, I wouldn't say a mile away, but I mean, the second that he's interacting with a vending machine, I pretty much knew that was going. So that was a bummer. And then there's something about it that was disconcerting, I guess. But that's probably effective as a result.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I thought it was very odd. I thought once he was in the vending machine, we knew where it was going.
Right.
But does that matter to the audience?
Scene right here, I thought was pretty good. Jimmy Kimmel, that was pretty good. It was a little odd slash creepy, which I usually think is a good thing.
Another reason why people should check us out, because Dan Edwards is doing such a great job here of rolling the commercials that we're talking about. So give us a follow here on Twitter at WCC Radio and also on Facebook. Okay, Adam, what did you think of the Oatly CEO singing his song in the middle of nowhere?
I think the lobster said it best. She said, "I don't even know what this company is, but based on this ad, I will never use their services." It was that bad. And we all just kind of sat and looked at each other like, what was that?
Okay.
And I don't know, does that work at all when people are just left like, what is that?
Okay. I just looked up. So Patrick, what's the strategy when you have to have a pretty good idea? That's going to be the reaction for a fair amount of people.
Well, first of all, this aired back, I think, for the first time, I think 2014 in Sweden. And I think it was Sweden. It was somewhere in that region. And it was taken off air because of the Milk Producers Association somehow was able to use their clout to have it removed. When I was watching next to somebody, and I said, you know, that's really good. Personally, you don't see CEOs that lacking in ego to be willing to sing off key. And he didn't think it was good. He goes, you know what? Everybody's gonna know who Oatly is now. And if you think about the song, it's milk for humans, not for cows. And you start thinking about that, it's like, yeah, I guess cow milk is kind of for cows. That was the whole purpose. So I actually liked it, and it has been talked about a ton. So their brand awareness just went to the roof, like from an unknown to a lot of people, if not everybody's heard of it now.
Which one fell on its face the most, do you think?
Oh boy, I thought State Farm. I mean, in my opinion, I thought State Farm was pretty bad. T-Mobile, not so good. There's some that tried, like E-Trade tried, and it's just kind of a force fit into a concept. You know, I thought a really interesting thing, you know, who really I thought failed miserably was Robinhood. And are you aware of the Reddit 5-second spot? Okay, so that was brilliant. I will tell you, that was one of my favorite spots, just in terms of the strategy, how they did it. They probably paid a lot for 5 seconds, but to have that in the same game as, you know, the Robin Hood, who, you know, if they, what they should have done is just, you know, can that concept, come up with a new concept, given everything's going on, and try to get some of the reputation back. And this is just accelerating the criticism.
Are we going to see more 5-second commercials?
They've always been there. I mean, you can buy them. It just, the way they did that was pretty good. Now, interestingly, because it was 5 seconds, you if you had it on a DVR, you'd have to go back and look at it or go online and see it, which I did. The other one that did that was the Mountain Dew one with the sweepstakes at the end, if you tweet the right number of bottles. And, you know, I've always, as an agency, been really intrigued about doing some sort of game or Easter egg thing in a spot where you have to actually go back and review it over and over again. So these people beat us to the punch. But, you know, both did the same thing in very different ways. But one was really expensive and one was not.
All right, let's finish with the halftime festivities. Adam, you are one of the hardest people I've ever seen when it comes to something that's great. Everybody loves it. You'll be like, just okay. All right, so give me your assessment on the weekend, starting with the horrendous sound.
Yeah, the sound was bad. The sound mixing was awful. It's like his microphone wasn't on the whole time. But that being said, I thought he was great for not, I don't think, being as big a name as some other people who've done the halftime show. I thought he performed great. The staging of it, I thought, was great. when he goes backstage and it's all kind of the gold glitter and the guys with I Can't Feel My Face, that reminded me of like being in Las Vegas trying to find my elevator, like, you know, at 2 a.m. So I thought
that's where it all came from.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I think it was good, but with it overcame the bad mixing.
Well, Patrick, that meme was everywhere 5 minutes afterwards. Right, with the weekend and the mirrors and the confusion. Yep. All right, what'd you think?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's bringing music into another level. Did you guys see when he was on Colbert, what he did at Colbert, and it blew me away when I saw it. But he didn't come on stage right away, and then, you know, Colbert goes to kind of find him, and he's walking down the steps, and then the weekend is down in what looks like the basement, but all the hallways are turning and he's the choreography and he's walking and these things are just like, it's almost like if you had two different hallways that came together just as he's backing into one, a lot like he did backstage during this performance. So I was keenly aware of what could happen, but this was even bigger. And I think it's even better if you know the whole story on the bandaged face, the bloodied face. And seems to be a transition from that album into a new storyline. I don't know. I thought it was really great. And for some reason, I didn't notice the bad sound. Maybe it's where I was watching it. But
yeah, so. I was having a tough time getting over the sound because I like him. I think he's extraordinarily talented. I would definitely see him. It's like, Adam, it's that first impression, unfortunately, when that sound is where it's at. And all of a sudden, if you're monitoring Twitter, it's, I want up with people back. I do want to say this, though, speaking to a primarily Minnesota audience, do we have to mention Prince every bleeping time? Can we just one time just talk about a halftime act without mentioning Prince? Okay. We all love Prince. He was amazing. Saw him a bunch. Wish he was still with us. We don't have to mention Prince every single time. Carter, that's your fault.
Wait till I tell you about how Sid and Prince met each other backstage before that episode. Good. You heard that one?
I can hear Hagen's story. I just don't need. We know Prince was the best, Patrick. I just don't think we have to go back to that reference every time. That's me.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's correct. That is correct. All right. Thank you for sitting in your car for better Wi-Fi.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right, brother. I'll see you
next year. Yeah, you'll see me soon.
All right. Our friend Patrick Hunt checking in. His company is fantastic. Check it out. Hunt Atkins. And he's kind enough to join us on a variety of issues all throughout the year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.